Are you wandering in the wilderness? Or are you a voice in the wilderness? Welcome to the Revival Cry Podcast. This is your host, Eric Miller. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The goal of this podcast is to encourage you to use the voice God has given you to make Jesus famous. Every week, we will share principles from the Word of God, interviews, and encouragement in order to strengthen your voice. Thank you for joining me today. And now here is today's podcast. Well, welcome everyone to Revival Cry. This is your host, Eric Miller. So thankful that you would choose to join me today. I have a word on my heart I'd like to share with you. It's called Maturing Beyond a Survivor's Mentality. You know, we've often heard talked about in the church, what is a victim's mentality, a victim mentality? This is what Ben Smart of the Gospel Coalition in Australia, he said this. He said, if you have a victim mentality, you will see your entire life through a perspective that things constantly happen to you. Victimization is thus a combination of seeing most things in life as negative, beyond your control, and as something you should be given sympathy for experiencing as you deserve better. At its heart, a victim mentality is actually a way to avoid taking any responsibility for yourself or your life. By believing you have no power, then you don't have to take action. I thought that that was such a powerful quote, you know, a definition of what is a victim mentality, because we hear that talked about a lot in the church. I believe that, you know, when we get born again, that Jesus sets us free from being victims anymore. Because not only does he take away our sin, but he empowers us to live a holy life, a life consecrated to God, a life not enslaved by sin anymore, but free to walk in what Jesus described as the abundant life of the Christian. So, you know, the title of this message is, you know, maturing beyond a survivor's mentality. We just talked about what a victim mentality is, but what is a survivor's mentality? Well, according to first responders, dash wellness.com, a survivor's mentality is a frame of mind that promotes self-empowerment and a person's ability to overcome a traumatic event, focusing on the ability to survive rather than being a victim, can help prevail over life's challenges instead of being held back or defined by them. So, you know what? It sounds powerful to say, you know, I'm no longer having a victim mentality, but I'm having a survivor mentality. I have overcome. But, you know, after we're born again, not only does God set us free from a victim mentality, but he sets us free from a survivor's mentality. The Holy Spirit wants to renew our minds, not to trust in our own ability, but to trust in his ability. You know, Jesus came to set us free from a victim and a survivor's mentality. He came to set us free from depending upon ourselves, to heal us from traumatic events. You know, Jesus came to make us overcomers, and he came to empower us to set captives free. In 1 John 5, 4 through 5, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So friend, we don't overcome simply because we say we're not a victim anymore and now I'm a survivor. We overcome because by faith in Jesus Christ, we're not just trying to live life to survive any longer.
we're actually empowered by the Holy Spirit to live an overcoming life, a life that is a life of faith and power. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says these famous verses, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You see, I think we're taught so much by the world that, yeah, you probably shouldn't have a victim mentality, but it's good to have a survivor's mentality. Then you can feel strong and feel good about yourself. I think there's so much self-reliance and not enough of putting our complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he's done for us. Because what Jesus did, nobody else could have done for us. We are all bound by sin, slaves to sin. Sin was our master until Jesus sets us free. And the freedom that Jesus gives is not just freedom from sin, but he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We have been given the kingdom. We have, you know, the ability to cast our care upon the Lord because he cares for us, but then also to receive the burden of the Lord, not the burden of sin and death and hardship and, you know, of things that we invited ourselves, but the burden of the Lord that we say, "Lord, you've done something for me that nobody else could do. So now I want to do whatever I can for you. I want to live my life sold out for you." We give him our heavy burdens of sin and death and disease and debt and worry, anxiety, stress, all these things. And he gives to us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Goodness, self-control, all these gifts, these fruits of the Spirit to empower us so that we would be willing to serve Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I heard a quote from Danny Silk the other day. He said, "The hallmark of an orphan spirit is the survivor mentality. The mentality says, I am not loved and relationships do not last. This is the very spirit that God sent his son to deliver us from." I don't believe what he's talking about is the same thing as a victim's mentality, that everything just happens to me because it's just bad, it's my lot in life. But you know, you can be a Christian and be set free from a victim mentality, but still have a survivor's mentality where you rely so much upon yourself and not learning how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit to trust, cast all your care, anxiety, your burdens upon the Lord, where you don't know how to walk in the Spirit. You don't know how to walk by faith. And there's a lot of quotes that I see people put up on their Facebook and Instagram and things like this, and they sound so good. But friend, I don't just want the good. I want the great. I want what I can't do in and of myself. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver me completely from myself and from this world, so that as I rely upon him, I'm not going to, you know, look at other people in situations of hardship that I might face in this life and complain and, you know, "God, why don't you love me? Why don't they love me? Why didn't they do this for me? Me, 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 me. And, you know, why do these things not work out for me?" You know, friend, I just want to encourage you. There's more than you know, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, the first thing that Jesus said is when he came out of, you know, that tomb, is take his grave clothes off. Take the grave clothes off, you know, take it off of him. So this mentality of, you know, coming out of Egypt, that Egypt doesn't still control your mind anymore. You come out of sin, you're free from the enslavement, the entanglement of it, you know. Now you can really live a life of the Spirit You know, I was sitting on this porch where I'm talking to you from. I come out here every day and I spend time with Jesus. And I'm just singing all these worship songs about the Father heart of God and how good He's been. And it's amazing because my father, whom my brother and I, my family has prayed for many years, has not known the Lord. My dad contacted me out of the blue today. And as I'm sitting out here on this porch, and I've had many talks with my dad who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, knows about God, but doesn't know the Lord, and lost his dad when he was 18. And, you know, it was tough for my dad in different ways. It was just amazing because my dad had a stroke over a year ago and recently had either a stroke or some type of just something else. I forget what they call it, but may have not been a stroke. But a seizure is what they were possibly saying. You know, it was so concerning. You know, is he going to make it? And actually, he's doing so much better. Like, we pray for him, and he talks even better without any stuttering, and so much better and clearer with his words. And he said, you know, I talked to your brother the other day, and he talked to me about heaven, my brother who's 4 years younger than me. And friend, we've talked to my dad about Jesus for years, and my brother challenged him, Dad, do you know if you're going to heaven? And it's amazing because as they're talking about it, someone knocked on the door and my dad had to go and all this stuff. But my dad called me today and said, you know, I had this talk with your brother yesterday and I'd like to talk to you and him about heaven some more. I'm telling you, friend, I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 in October. I have prayed for my dad ever since I first heard about Jesus when I was 14 years old. And my dad's a good man, but I think like a lot of people, we all struggle with either a victim mentality or a survivor's mentality. When Jesus is saying, I want you to have a spirit-empowered lifestyle so that I can free you and you can learn to walk with all heaven behind you and hear my voice on a regular basis and know how much I care for you. See, that's the momentum that God wants to give us. You know, in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 27, it says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness an overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I always read that chapter. I know I didn't read the whole thing, but that last section, I've always read that chapter and thought, what is James talking about? The brother of Jesus, you know, at the end, you know, the key verse here is obviously verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and Father exists to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one's self unspotted from the world. I think what he's saying is that, look, when we, you know, encounter the reality of the kingdom of God, that we can be radically set free to where how we used to feel and what used to drive us as being victims and survivors, now if we're being presence-driven and the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading our lives and teaching us all things, and the Word of God becomes our priority. Friend, I want to tell you something. It's like It really is a born-again mindset. Not only a you know, by faith something that happens in us, but everything changes. We begin to see life totally differently. We begin to see creation and relationships and our excuse me, our purpose and calling in this life is so much more meaningful. You know, I believe the world just wants to take all that away from us, you know, tells us we need to believe we came from monkeys, evolution, can't believe in creation. I believe it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. But yet, when we really come down to the reality that Jesus loves me, that Jesus loves you, and that he did for us what nobody else can do, then our whole attitude in life is going to be set free from what we used to be and desire to go help set captives free who are where we used to be. Almost sound like a rapper there. But you know, believers with no love for orphans, whether they be physical or spiritual orphans, James says is a clear sign that this, they are polluted by the world. I'm talking about Christians who struggle with either a victim mentality or a survivor's mentality. They do not honor father, mother, spiritual models or authorities in their lives. They call themselves believers, but they still live as orphans and they have no control over their flesh. Friend, I believe that in, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you know, he says, "And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, and make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, sound, and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, God wants to heal us, not only our hearts so we can go to heaven, but renew our minds, which is our soul and our spirit, and he still heals our bodies today. God loves to help us as we walk in step with his spirit to realize that all of the kingdom is made available for you and I. We can walk in absolute freedom. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 10:14. It says, "For by one offering, he, Jesus, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." We become perfected in Christ when we're born again, but we're being sanctified. There's a process of renewing of the mind by the Word of God, by the presence of God, by developing discipline and obedience and learning how to love people and serve others above yourself. Friend, all of this matters to what God is doing in you and me to help mature us beyond where we've been in this life so that he can have all of us. Amen? Listen, I just got a few more minutes left, but you know, I believe God wants you to know that you can be healed from an orphan spirit today, from a victim mentality and from a survivor mentality. You know, when we align ourselves with God, when we align ourselves with his spirit, with his word, with his presence, there's three things I believe that God wants to work on with us. Number one, our personal identity. Number two, our kingdom destiny. And number three, our love for the orphan. You know, in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." You know, before you were born, my friend, God had an identity for you. He had a purpose for your life. You weren't created by accident. Maybe you were born and you were orphaned from birth and you don't know your real mom or dad, family, the DNA, the blood family you came from. But friend, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a purpose for your life. You know, maybe you grew up in a family where there was divorce and adultery and all kinds of fighting and arguing, complaining and separation. And friend, I just want you to know that your personal identity was created by the hand of God himself And, you know, maybe you grew up in a situation that was really hard, and it's hard for you to really figure out who you are in this life. But I want you to know that Jesus came to set you free, me and you free, from our past, from the hopelessness, from the depression, from the suicidal thoughts, so that we can live according to the ordination that he has for our lives. You know, in Galatians 2:20, you know, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, your identity is not in your religion. If you were born a Baptist or born Pentecostal or born Methodist or Presbyterian, friend, you may have been born going to those places, but God created you for so much more than to have a name or a title of some denomination attached to you. You know, he wants you to know that you're his son, that you're his daughter, that your identity is him, in him. I mean, you know, we have an identity in Jesus ourselves, and we have an identity in the body of Christ. You know, some may look like a hand or a foot or a leg, or, you know, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, I don't know what part of the body you are, but I know this. He first of all wants you to know who you are in him. And when that takes place, my friend, oh, you can be free. I remember going to church and knowing all about God, but being a slave to sin. I prayed prayers. I said all the right things. I went to the youth group and did what I was supposed to do as far as what people could see. But in secret, I wasn't free from sin. And then when I realized that Jesus loved me and he likes me, and he wants me to be free in my spirit, soul, and body, and not be a victim or a survivor, but to know that I can walk in divine freedom. Oh, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And the next thing is, he wants you to know the kingdom destiny you have. And in Ephesians 1, 11 through 12, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. You were chosen by God. God had a destiny for your life. And even though the enemy, sin, was trying to destroy and keep you from what God is fulfilling, the plans that he had for your life, the destiny, friend, I just want you to know, God knows how to get you on track. He says if we'll just come to him, receive forgiveness and healing, and we choose to mature by in our faith in him, I'm telling you, not only will we please God, but God's going to help us along and like a good father, you know, guide us into the fulfilling what we could not do by ourselves and our destiny. You know, several years ago, I was in Okinawa, Japan. And we had just come from the Philippines, where we've been living for many, many years. And we would go to Japan pretty much every year. And while I was sitting in Okinawa, I called my dad on the phone. I said, hey, Dad, you know, we're coming to the States. If you could be looking for a vehicle for us. And he goes, where are you? I said, Okinawa. He goes, you know, your grandfather, who was in the Navy, and I knew my grandfather was in the U.S. Navy, but I really didn't know anything about it because my grandfather died when my dad was 18. He said, your grandfather helped liberate the Philippines, and he was also stationed in Okinawa, Japan. I go, that's incredible. He went on to say that, you know, on December 6, 1941, the day before the bombing in Pearl Harbor, which was on December 7th, he said, your grandfather was told by his commanding officer to leave and go to the mainland U.S. He was stationed on the USS Shaw, which was a destroyer ship, and he had received the Purple Heart for his service. And amazingly, he was told to leave the day before. Had my grandfather died that day in Pearl Harbor, which many of the men on that ship died, from what I understand, had he died, my dad wouldn't have been born in 1950. The bombing took place in 1941. and then I wouldn't have been born in 1973. When my dad was telling me this, I was in Okinawa, Japan, just came from the Philippines. I was so blown away by God's goodness and destiny and purpose for my life that, friend, it does something to you when you grow in the Lord beyond having a survivor's mentality that God has a real destiny for your life. And we've served in the Philippines many years. We've seen many people come to Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, transform lives, godly marriages, growing families. Friend, I don't know about you, but I want everything that Jesus has for me. Let me go on the last one here and we'll finish. A love for the orphan. Three things we're talking about here is, your personal identity, your kingdom destiny, and love for the orphan. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." Jesus is talking about the final day of judgment. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. You know, he's looking at the sheep saying, whatever you did to the least of these, you were doing it actually unto me. And at the end of that chapter, he says, whatever you do to the goats, whatever you did not do to the least of these, you also did not do for me or for them. Here's the reality, friend, is that I wouldn't have had a love for orphans or for widows or for the brokenhearted had not God changed my life. We've had a feeding program in the Philippines called Faith Promise Feeding Program for almost 14 years. We feed 100 kids every week within the context of our Philippines missions team. We have two orphanages, one called Hope for All Children, the other one called Safe Haven. And now there's orphans. There's young girls who've been trafficked, taken in to a house of restoration. I look at this, friend, and I think there's no way we could have ever figured this all out on our own. There's destiny, there's identity, there's destiny, and there is a love for others that you will never know until you allow God to do in you what he wants to do. Listen to this last verse, John 14:18. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Friend, that's the whole goal of this podcast or radio, or if you're watching on our YouTube channel today, is for you to know that it was never God's intention for you to feel alone, like a victim, like you have to survive on your own. He wants you to know, I will come to you. I want to be your heavenly Father, is what he's saying. Listen, I'm going to pray for you today. Father, I thank you so much for everyone listening to me, no matter where they are in the world or what's going on in their lives. I pray in the name of Jesus, they would find comfort in knowing that you love them. And by doing so, they will find out their identity, their destiny, and learn how to love others beyond what they ever thought they could. Use them in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Please, if you would like to give and help this ministry, you could go to revivalcry.org/giving and help us today with some type of love gift. Thank you so much and God bless. Thank you for listening to Revival Cry with Eric Miller. Please subscribe, rate, and write a review for this podcast on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To find out more or partner with our missions work around the world, please visit us at revivalcry.org. I look forward to being with you next week.